الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أفضل الصيام بعد رمضان شهر الله المحرم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected brothers and elders, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in a hadith which is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala and reported in Muslim Sharif, that after the month of Ramadan, the best roza is the roza, the fast that are kept in the month of Muharram. In this hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned or indicated two important things. Firstly, after the month of Ramadan, the best roza are kept in the month of Muharram. And secondly, he has described Muharram as Shahrullah, the month of Allah. From this we can understand that Allah has made some special connection at times to certain things. For example, we have Kitabullah, the Quran Majid, Kalamullah, Rasulullah, the Rasul of Allah, Nabiullah, Baytullah, the house of Allah, the messenger of Allah, the Kitab of Allah. So what do we understand from this? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything belongs to Him. All the masjids belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the control of the entire universe, but sometimes He links something to Himself. And that becomes Kitabullah, the book of Allah. Baytullah, the house of Allah. Like this, my respected brothers and elders, the thing which Allah Ta'ala connects to Him, or that object, or that person, or that being, or that thing which is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now also gains some importance and some significance. So the month of Muharram, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described it as Shahrullah, the month of Allah. Therefore, increasing the importance of this holy month of Muharram. My respected brothers and elders, you and I also, if we link ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can also become waliullah. We can also become the men of Allah, rijalullah. Condition is we have to link ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does one link himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Become the beloved of Allah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you love Allah, then follow my way. Follow the path, the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you will gain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. Abandon sin, shun evil, all vice and all evil, and become muti', ita'at. Obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obey the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith Qudsi, it is mentioned, إِنِّي إِذَا أُطِعْتُ رَضِيتُ. Allah says, when I am obeyed, I become happy. وَإِذَا رَضِيتُ بَارَكْتُ. When I become happy, then I give barakat and blessings. وَلَيْسَ لِبَرْكَتِي نِهَايَةٌ. There is no end to my barakat. I give and I give and I give, and my treasures never become exhausted. So my respected brothers and elders, this month of Muharram, it is indeed a very, very sacred month. It is mentioned in the kitabs, even in the time of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam, in the past also. Even in the time of Jahiliyyah, 4 months were regarded as very sacred. Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram and Rajab. Wherein the kuffar also would not fight with one another. No wars would be waged. They should hold these months in extreme and importance. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to these 4 months, minha arba'atun hurum, in the ayah that I quoted to you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has exhorted us to keep roza in this month, and especially on the 10th of Muharram, which is tomorrow. When Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah Munawwara, he found the Jews were fasting on the 10th of Muharram. When he inquired as to why they were fasting, they said it is that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam from the clutches of Fir'aun. My respected brothers and elders, from childhood days, we have been hearing the story of Musa alayhi salatu salam, that mighty, powerful Nabi of Allah who spoke to Allah, who was given the laqab and title of Kaleemullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him and his people, the Bani Israel, from Fir'aun, where Allah ta'ala drowned Fir'aun. It was on the 10th of Muharram. Therefore, they said that Musa alayhi salatu salam, out of gratitude, kept roza on this day. So we are keeping roza on this day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ نَحْنُ أَحَقُّ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ We are more deserving, we have more right over Musa alayhi salatu salam than you have. We are more closer, and Musa alayhi salatu salam is more dearer to us than he is to you. Therefore, he instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in also to keep roza on the 10th of Muharram. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned in one hadith that because the Jews were also keeping roza on this day, on the 10th of Muharram, he said, لَإِن بَقِيتُ إِلَىٰ قَابِلٍ If I am alive the following year, لَأَصُومَ مَنَّ التَّاسِعُ With great emphasis, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that I will also keep roza on the 9th. Just to oppose the Jews, they were keeping roza on only one day. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, we will keep roza on 2 days, the 9th and the 10th. In some riwayat ulama have mentioned that if a person is unable to keep roza on the 9th, then he can keep roza on the 11th, the 10th and the 11th. But at this point, I would like to mention very, very clearly that this roza of Muharram is not fard, it is not wajib. It is a mustahab practice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasized it. There were sahaba who kept this roza, there were sahaba who did not keep this roza. Therefore, we should not look down upon any person who does not keep this roza. However, this roza was still, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had attached great importance to this roza. People like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, even whilst they were on safar on a journey, then too they would keep roza on the 10th of Muharram, 9th, 10th, or 10th and 11th. So those who have kept roza today, may Allah ta'ala bless you. And those who have not kept roza today, but who intend keeping tomorrow, then of course keep tomorrow and Sunday also. It is advisable to keep two fasts. Perhaps some person sitting here today did not realize the importance of this roza. And one significance I will mention to you, that it would inculcate in you to keep this roza. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned that the fasting of the 10th of Ashura, it wipes out, it obliterates the previous year's sins. 1 year's guna is maaf, and it is obliterated, it is washed away, it is wiped away, just on account of keeping this roza on the 10th of Muharram. In the time of Sahaba, again I will mention that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the Sahaba to keep roza on the 10th of Muharram, Sayyidina Rubay' binti Mu'awith radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says, Kunna nasumuhu, we should also keep this roza on the 10th of Muharram. Wa nusawwimu abna'ana as-sighar, and we should also make our little children also keep roza. And she says, to the extent that we should make for them some toys made out of cotton or wool, and whenever they cried, then we should keep them occupied with these little toys of theirs so that they may forget about their hunger. The reason for this is that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, my respected brothers and elders, their parents used to nurture their children from very infant, from a very infant stage. Of course, if a child is unable to keep roza, do not force the child to keep roza. But try and inculcate this good habit of fasting. Roza amongst the Sahaba is very, very rife. They used to keep roza every month, 3 days every month, Mondays and Thursdays. It was quite rife. And therefore they inculcated good habits in the children. Unless we find ourselves today, the habit that we inculcate in our children is that of cell phones, flashy cars, perhaps going out to the rave clubs and dining and going out, my respected brothers and elders. Look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They would inculcate and instill and nurture their children with good qualities. It is mentioned, كُلُّ مْرِئٍ جَارٍ بِمَا تَعَوَّدَ Every person becomes that which he was accustomed to. When he was small, if he had some good qualities imbibed in him, when he grows, his qualities remain with him. It is very difficult to bring in good qualities later on in life when a person is now with the stick and is very old. So my respected brothers and elders, again, whilst this fast is not compulsory, but we should try and encourage ourselves, our family members. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he wrote to one sahabi of his who had, he had made a governor at a certain place, Harith bin Hisham radiallahu ta'ala, and he tells him, غَدًا يَوْمُ عَاشُورَ. He says, tomorrow is Ashura. So you must make sari and you keep roza. And also instruct your family to keep roza. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala encouraged the sahabi of his to keep roza on the 10th of Muharram. So again, for those who may have arrived late, the 9th and 10th, or the 10th and 11th, these are the 2 days when Nabi Kareem has exhorted us to keep roza. The benefits are very great. This day of Ashura is extremely great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah ta'ala saved Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Many times we hear bayans on the important events of these days. MashaAllah, we have spoken about the fasting aspect. But I would like to discuss today, inshallah, the important aspect of the Muslim calendar. The Muslim calendar began, it originated when Sayyidina Musa, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala, he received some letters from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And then he writes back to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he says, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, you have sent me some letters, but these letters are not dated. It is important to date these letters so I know which instruction has come first. Perhaps you may have abrogated some instruction. I would not know which letter you had sent first. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala, immediately he consults his sahaba. Again, we understand the importance of mashura. Inshallah, some other time we'll discuss this in detail. The importance of consultation, consulting one another. Umar radiallahu ta'ala summoned his sahaba and he asked them, let us fix some date or some period or some event in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from which we would begin our calendar and the 12 months. Some sahabi gave the opinion that let us start it from the mawlid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day when he was born, such a mubarak, blessed day. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala pondered, he said no. But then that is now imitating again the Nasara because they have also done the same. Then somebody said the wafat, the demise of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let us start the calendar from there. He said no. The greatest musibah that has befallen this ummah was the death of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore some ulama say, when any person is struck with some musibah, then ponder over that musibah, that was the loss of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being no longer in this world. Yes, he is hayat in his qabr, but he left from this world. So that is a great loss that has come to this ummah. So we should not start the calendar from this date. Then people gave different rays. When some person gave the rai of hijrat, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was very sharp, very intelligent. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala is that sahabi who had mentioned many, many things and he gave his opinion many, many occasions. And according to his opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses of the Quran exactly how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala had given his opinion. So on this occasion he found that to be a very good idea and he said yes. But if one ponders and goes back to history, we find that the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took place. He actually entered Medina in Rabiul Awwal. So how do we start from Muharram? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala who were present there. And when this opinion or this decision was given now that we will start the Muslim, our calendar from the hijrat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two sahaba said, let us start it from Muharram. And the reason for this was that the sahaba had come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Medina, the Ansar. They made Hajj, they performed Hajj. They took bayah to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is known as bayah to Aqaba. They promised loyalty to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They gave him their full support. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, you come over to Medina, we will guard you, we will protect you, we will assist you. When they left, this was in Dhul Hijjah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now longed forward and he had this desire now to move towards Medina. He had seen a dream also prior to that and he now instructed the Sahaba to move and leave Makkah and move towards Medina. This is the hijrat. So So Sahaba already started proceeding in the month of Muharram. Therefore Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu accepted this view, and we begin the Muslim calendar from the month of Muharram. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dispatched the Sahaba. He himself had to wait for instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first person to make this hijrat was a Sahabi by the name of Abu Salama radiallahu ta'ala. A very interesting incident with him. He leaves. He saddles his camel. He places his wife and his little child onto the camel. And he holds the rein of the camel. And he's so excited because now he is going to leave Makkah and he's going to proceed to Medina. Remember the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were tortured, persecuted. They were inflicted with injuries and suffering in Makkah. And therefore they had to now abandon Makkah and go to Medina with the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Salama is now leaving Makkah when suddenly his in-laws, the Banu Mughira tribe, they come and say, they were non-Muslims, where are you taking our daughter? You have got no right to take our daughter away from Makkah. And they pull her out of the camel. When his family, who are also not Muslims at that time, when they see this, they go and they grab that child from the mother. They say, this is our grandchild. And we are not going to let this grandchild come with the mother. So there's a quarrel and they pull the child over to their side. Now Abu Salama is left all alone on the camel. His wife is gone with his in-laws and his own child with his parents or his family. What does he do now? Remember the hukam of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make hijrat. Abu Salama departs, he leaves. Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha says, for 1 year, one whole year, I used to go out to Abtah on the outskirts of Makkah. I used to sit on the rock and I used to cry and wait for my beloved husband. I was separated from him and my child. One whole year until one person from my family or from my in-laws, he was going past and he saw my pitiable condition. He went to the others and he said, why don't you have mercy on this poor little woman? And then they gave us permission now to travel and they gave me back my son. As I left and I reached Tan'im, she says, a person by the name of Uthman bin Talha, who was not a Muslim as yet, he asked me, O lady, where are you going to? She says, I'm proceeding to Yathrib. Yathrib was the name of Madina Munawwara prior to Nabi Kareem's entry. That is why some ulama say, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Medina, Allahu Akbar, Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says that everything brightened. And Nabi Kareem put his foot into Medina, then the entire Medina became brightened. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, Medina, Yathrib ka naam bhi badal diya, aur Yathrib ki shan bhi badal di. Yathrib now became illuminated, and the name now was changed to Medina Munawwara. So, she meets this person, and he says, no, you cannot go alone. He is a non-Muslim. He holds the rein of this camel, and he proceeds. She says, Wallah, I have never seen a person more better than Uthman bin Talha. Why? Wherever we stopped, then he would stop the camel, he would make it kneel, he would go away until I would jump off. He never came close to me, he never touched me with any evil desires or intentions. Whenever he had to rest, then he would make us rest away from where he would rest. When it was time to come again, go proceed again, he would draw closer and he would make some indication that now we are going to proceed. And he was so kind that he took a right till Quba and he said, your husband is there. This same Uthman bin Talha, the time of Fatih Makkah, he embraced Islam. He was actually in charge, his family was in charge, they were the custodians of the Kaaba. They had the keys of the holy Kaaba. So on that day he was not sure now. Because prior to that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, remember when they went to make Umrah, then they were stopped. At the time of Hudaybiyah there was a long story, the peace treaty was written. Here he was afraid that now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not give him the key. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatulil alameen, called, where's Uthman? And he hands over the key to Uthman bin Talha. So Uthman bin Talha radiallahu ta'ala accepts Islam in the time of Fatih Makkah. We come back to the hijrat. Now she proceeds and she meets her husband. Like this, many other sahaba proceeded, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Other sahaba also, Sayyidina Uthman, all of them left in little groups. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala, as he was leaving, his masters came to him. They said, we are not going to allow you. How can you go? The kuffar had seen the sahaba migrating, making this hijrat. They became very worried. What is going to happen to us? These people are going to Medina. And they knew the tribe of Aws and Khazraj, very, very hostile, very strong people. Then we are not going to have any control over these Muslims. In Makkah, they were not allowed to make salat openly. They could not practice the deen openly. So they say, no, you're not allowed. He pleads to them. Finally, he says, okay, I will give you all that I possess. On that, they agreed. Later on, when he met Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabiya Kareem said, Rabiha bay'uk. Oh, Suhail, oh, Suhaib. Your transaction that you have done, it is very profitable. You have gained great profits in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he left, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given him extreme courage and valor. He goes out openly. Other sahaba left very secretly. He goes, he makes tawaf of the Kaaba. After the 7 rounds, he addresses some Quraysh chiefs there. He says, is there any person who wants to make his wife a widow, and he wants to make his children orphans, and he wants his mother to bereave over him? Come, I challenge you. Not a single Quraysh chief could dare stand and challenge Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And then he proceeds like this. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is now instructed. The only people left are one or two people who, a few Muslims who were not allowed by their own family members, like the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. Because her husband was not a Muslim at that time, he refused the permission. Later on, he accepted Islam. And Nabiya Kareem sallam left Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala also behind with him, and Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Now when Nabiya Kareem sallam is given permission, he goes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He says, oh Abu Bakr, it was such a time that Nabiya Kareem sallam would not normally visit Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He normally used to go in the morning or evening. Here he came midday. He says, what is it, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He says, we have been given instruction by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have been instructed now to make hijrah to Medina. Immediately Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, As-Sahaba, As-Sahabata Ya Rasulullah. As-Sahabata means, can I accompany you, oh my beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can I accompany you? It is mentioned that Allama Shibli writes that for 4 months, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu had prepared 2 camels, fed them very well, and had kept them ready for this journey. He always anticipated and waited. Perhaps I'll be this Rafiq of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his comrade on this journey. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, O Abu Bakr, you will come with me. And we will proceed to Ghari Thawr. Sayyidina Aisha, who was a little girl at that time, plus minus 7 years of age, she says, I could not understand that a person would shed tears and cry out of happiness. I normally knew a person would cry when some musibah comes upon him. Here I saw my father crying out of happiness and joy. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu, respected brothers and elders, time has already expired. It is such a beautiful incident. Perhaps tonight in some masjid you might hear this incident. If Allah give us tawfiq, we'll continue some other time. I encourage you to read this, the Sirat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi, many, many other great writers have written on the Sirat of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This migration, as Sayyid Abu Hassan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah says, what is the lesson of migration? That a person who has love for his possessions, for his wealth, for his property, a day comes when he ought to sacrifice that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of his iman, for the sake of his deen. So Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeded to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, and Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is kept behind in the house of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives him a green shawl and put over him, and he tells him, do not worry, nobody will harm you. In the meantime, the kuffar had made some mashura, and they plotted, now we are going to kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They all surround the house of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he comes out, Allah blinds them. He takes some sand, places on their head, and he recites the surah Yasin, Tilf akhshaynahum fahum la yubsirun. Allah blinded them. They were unable to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu going right past them. Until some person came the next morning and told him that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has already left. Who are you waiting for? When they entered the house, they see Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa leave him there? Nabi sallallahu left him to this the amanat that was given to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that were entrusted to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the kuffar in Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take away that amanat. He did not usurp that property. He left Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala to give back those monies and those properties the people had deposited there. When it comes to Ghar Hira, now Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala is panicking, he's worried, he's afraid, because the kuffara in search of them. And he had his servant Amir bin Fuhira radiallahu ta'ala to come and give them some milk at night. And another person by Abdullah bin Uriqit, who was not a Muslim, he led them to Ghari Hira and on the onward journey. When they come to Ghari Hira, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, please not enter. I will enter first. I will clean this cave. Perhaps there's some reptiles, some snakes, or some scorpions. He goes in, he cleans his cave. Then he fills in all the holes. And then he brings Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who comes into this cave. And he relaxes, he places his Mubarak head on the lap of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. There were two holes, however, which were uncovered. And he places his heels and he covers these two holes. Whilst Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sound asleep, suddenly a scorpion or some snake bites the feet of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. He does not shudder, he does not shake, he does not move, he does not become restless. But my respected brothers and elders, those tears, those eyes shed tears and they fall onto the face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem awakens. Oh Abu Bakr, what has happened? He says, Ya Rasulullah, ludightu. I've been bitten by a scorpion or some snake. Why didn't you wake me up? He says, Ya Rasulullah, I did not want to disturb your sleep. I did not want to wake you up. Rasulullah made a dua for him. Oh Allah, make Abu Bakr with me in my daraja in Jannat. لو كنت متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. If I had to make any person a bosom friend, I would make Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه my bosom friend. ما نفعني مال أحد ما نفعني مال أبي بكر. No person's wealth benefited me like that of سيدنا أبو بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه. Another hadith, إن من أمن الناس علي في صحبته وماله أبا بكر رضي الله عنه. The person who bestowed me with most favors and that person who I could not repay in my life regarding his companionship, regarding his wealth, was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is once resting and he has his head on the lap of Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, his wife, and she sees, looks at the stars and she says, Ya Rasulullah, is there any person in your ummah whose deeds, whose hasanat are equivalent to the stars that we see in the sky? He says, yes. Who is it? Umar radiallahu ta'ala. She says, then where's Abu Bakr then, my father? What about his hasanat? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna jami'a hasanati Umar. All the good deeds of Umar radiallahu ta'ala do not even, they are equal. They equate or they are equivalent to just one neki of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. The first person of this ummah to enter Jannat will be Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. My respected brothers and elders, time has expired. May Allah make us understand his hijrat. It was on this occasion that now marks the beginning of the Muslim calendar. May Allah help us to live a life filled with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to keep Roza during these Mubarak days, today and tomorrow and Sunday. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove the conditions that are, the evil conditions that are prevailing in the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.